Today, a spotlight on Cheltenham, Victoria. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Welcome to the latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. Today, I want to take you through my spotlight analysis of Cheltenham, an inner suburban area in Melbourne. And this is a product of recent research that I did for a one-to-one session. The one-to-one session is something we've been offering for some months now, where we do a deep dive into a specific postcode. If you're interested, just drop me a note via the DFA blog and we can take it forward. Now, I just need to say before we start that this analysis is based on current available information and it may change. This is not financial advice and our conversation should not be taken as such. We're just looking at the data from our surveys and economic modelling, and the information is for your personal use and it will change ahead. That said, of course, we use our core market model, which draws information in from our 52,000 household sample and many other sources, including JobKeeper and JobSeeker and a bunch of other information, to be able to look at what's going on down at a granular level. And in fact, going granular is critical if you want to understand what's going on in the property market. And as a result of that, we're able to take data from mortgage stress, the house price trajectory history, the buying and selling intentions, the migration data, and also broader economic wages and employment information. That all goes into our core market model, where we overlay a number of different scenarios, and that allows us to complete analysis at a postcode level or roll it up to a state or regional level, or indeed all Australia. But of course, today we're drilling down into a particular postcode. So we're looking at Cheltenham, 3192, and Cheltenham is located just a little way out from the centre of Melbourne on the Nepean Highway and is divided into the central area of Cheltenham and then north and east Cheltenham. And Cheltenham has been described as a suburb in Melbourne, Victoria, located 18 kilometres south-southeast of Melbourne Central Business District. It is currently, they say, undergoing significant gentrification and development. Well, I would say to you, more development than gentrification, as you will see as we go forward. So this is going towards Cheltenham on the main road. And you see, as we head towards the more central area, then we see significant redevelopment and some high rise and some commercial buildings as well. Away from that, you can still find suburban streets. Although if you look carefully, in fact, some of those suburban streets now contain more high-rise development. Elsewhere, it's more charming and old world. But I have to say, these less spoilt streets are harder to find in the area now than they used to be. In fact, you could, if you look closely, be looking back 10 or 15 or 20 years. But more likely, you will see new development. This is a newly completed set of units, just right at the end of a street, but by the rail line. And here's another example of three stories of units with commercial premises below. And in fact, the more you look around this area, the more you realise that there is a huge amount of redevelopment going on at the moment. And in fact, the whole character of the area is changing. And of course, the question is it for the better or not? Now, currently, there are around 77 properties for sale in this particular postcode. And here are a few examples. Quite a few of them are townhouses. And interestingly, many of them are being offered for auction. And there are also houses going to auction as well, and some for private sale with indicative price ranges. Now, some of them are clearly trying to give the impression of being more impressive than they are. And the more you look, the more you realise that there is lots of units for sale. Units, that is, and townhouses. And the story quite often appears to be that larger properties are bought, knocked down, and subdivided. And indeed, according to the agent that I spoke with in the area, planning rules actually are encouraging this behaviour. And you might want to play a little game with me. Guess what proportion of properties are actually units compared with houses. I'll tell you later. Now turning to sold properties, there were 41 properties sold in the last couple of months. And as normal, we sometimes are provided with relatively limited information. In some cases, we are told a price band. That's more to do with asking prices than sold prices, of course. Or we're told it's sold by auction, but there's no information at all about what the price was. In fact, about 30% of prices for auctions are withheld at the moment, which may tell you something rather important. In some cases, it's the last asking price which is reported. And as I've noted before, sometimes the last asking price is a wide range, and you can ask yourself how that information flows into the various indices that are reporting the results. Indeed, my hypothesis continues to be that in many circumstances, the information is just not being reported. And certainly when I was speaking to the agents, they were extremely coy about what prices are actually doing at the moment, with good reason, as we will see shortly. And I just want to highlight again the mix of apartments, townhouses, and also houses. And there are still some more substantial, larger properties with prices are well above the 1.2 to 1.3 million. But again, given bands rather than specific information about the price that it was transacted at. Now we're going to look at the current price trends. And this is based on the median price between 2013 and 2020. We're going to start with Cheltenham houses. And in 2013, the average house price was around $620,000. Today, it's just over $1 million. But look at the recent changes. In 2014, prices rose 12.9%. In 2015, they rose 13.6%. In 2016, they rose more than 13% again. In 2017, they rose 20%. They fell 6.5% in 2018, fell again in 2019, and rose very slightly in 2020. Now, of course, we also show the information inflation adjusted. In fact, the average gain between 2013 and 20 is 7.2% or 5.1% after inflation. Now, if we turn to units in the same area, there the average gain was just 3.9% or 1.8% after inflation. In 2013, the average unit was at $470,000. Today, it's $595,000. And in 2017, there were rises of more than 20% and falls around 15% in 2018. So you can see that the trajectory of prices has been rather interesting. In 2014, it rose 2.1%. In 2015, 6.3%. Nothing at all in 2016. Rose 23.5% in 2017. Fell 15.1% in 2018. Rose 7.5% in 2019. And rose just slightly at 3.5% in 2020. If we look at Cheltenham East, there the average house price in 2013 was $600,000. Today it's just over $1 million. And the most significant rises once again were in 2014, up 11.7%, 2015 up 14.9%, 2016 up 12.3%, 2017 up 13.3%, but then a fall down 4.1% in 2018, nothing at all in 2019, no change, and then a small rise, 8.5%. in 2020. Now that translates to an average gain of 7.5% over the last few years, or 5.4% after inflation. Now looking at units in Cheltenham East, the average gain there was 5.3% or after inflation 3.2%. And in 2013, the average unit price was $460,000. Today, $640,000. And there were most significant rises in 2015, up 18.6%, 2016, up 25.5%, The most significant falls were in 2018, down 13.7%, and 2014, down 6.5%, and then in 2019, a rise of 4.4%, and in 2020, up 8.5%. And finally, we go to Cheltenham North, and there, the average gain over the last few years for houses was 7.4% per annum, or 5.4% after inflation, with the price in 2013 at $585,000, and in 2020, $970,000. And once again, the most significant rises were in 2014, up 12.8%, 2015, up 13.6%, 2016, up 20%, 2017, up 13.9%, a fall of 9.8% in 2018, a further fall in 2019 of 7.2%, and a recovery of 13.1% in 2020. And units in Cheltenham North back in 2013 were around $380,000 median, today around $700,000. And once again, significant rises in 2015 and 2020 actually at 12.9%, but falls in 2018, just a small fall of 0.9%. Other than that, a more gentle rise, like 4.8% in 2016 and 5.5% in 2017. And that translates to an average gain over the period of 8.6% or 6.6% after inflation. And now let's look at the overall summary. There are currently 140 properties listed for sale, with 57 added in the past month. And there are more than 36 that have been on the market for more than 6 months. Back in May 2019, listings were lower at around 110. And to answer my earlier question, 45% of the properties here are houses, the rest are units. Now, houses have a gross yield for investment purposes of around 2.6%, and that's a fall from 3% over last year. But the net yield is around 1.25% and falling, and those figures are pretty concerning. Frankly, I'd do better to invest up in Queensland. Units have a gross yield of around 3.4%, and that's a fall from 4.4% last year, but the net yield is around 2.05% and continues to fall. The rents for houses are falling, down 1.5% over the quarter, with a typical rent of $545 per week. Rents for units are falling, down 2.5% over the quarter, with a typical rent of $400 per week. Vacancy rates are around 1.4%. That's compared with 1.7% in mid-May 2019. There are around 40 vacancies reported currently, compared with 60 in 2019. And houses show an asking price on average down 5.9% over the past 3 months, with a typical house price of just over $1 million. Average settlements, though, are around 6% lower than asking, and that explains why there's a certain degree of coyness from agents with regard to what's happening to property prices. Don't be taken in by all the spin. And asking prices for units are on average up 11% over the past 3 months, with a typical unit price of $640,000, and the average settlement is around 5% lower than asking. And it's also worth noting that there has recently been a proliferation of more upmarket units coming on the market, and that helps to explain some of the move in price. Now, the next thing I want to do is to look at our stress data. This is from our surveys. There are about 9,600 households in the area, 4,100 borrowing, 3,500 renting, and around 2,600 properties for rent. And there are around 3,800 property investors living in the postcode, and they will have property investment, well, maybe in the postcode or somewhere else. Overall, the financial stress metric is 31%. That's quite low relative to many other parts of the country. That said, there are around 500 households in mild mortgage stress. That equates to about 13% of those borrowing. And in some cases, they are still on principal and interest repayment holidays. The risk of defaults, just around 3%, which translates to 110 defaults over the next year. Renters are also not doing too badly. 27% of renters are in rental stress. That translates to just under 1,000. And from a property investment perspective, around 42% of property investors are stressed, and 68 are in severe stress. 1,532 is the total count of stressed investors. Now, stressed investors can be suffering from a decline in rental receipts or no rental receipts, the fact that they're trying to sell their property, the fact that the property is vacant, or indeed the net returns are underwater. And in this postcode, around 60% of property investors are losing money on their property investment at this time. So finally, we can now look at the price scenarios. And I'm going to start with houses in Cheltenham. And as normal, we have our three different scenarios. The low scenario, which is essentially the most bullish, meaning that the virus gets under control quickly, the borders open, and the economy recovers well. The bearish scenario, the high scenario, is another virus outbreak and a continuation of the lockdowns. And the base case, which is the one that we run our scenarios off, is that there will be a vaccine, but it will take some time to roll out. The international borders won't be open next year, but the year after. And unemployment will be at 8.5% at the end of the year, and even 6.5% in 2023. And you can see there the different cumulative changes to house prices. In the low case, prices will be just slightly higher than they are today. In the high case, they'll be down 16%. And in the base case, they'll be down 7.8%. Now, we can apply those scenarios to houses in Cheltenham. And as we said before, the current price for a house on average, median, is just over $1 million. We think it's going to drop over the next year, perhaps down 9.2% in our scenario to 926,000. It'll stay pretty flat the following year and then rise slightly to end up at around $939,000. And if that is true, that will take prices back to where they were in 2016-2017. The scenario for units are a little bit more concerning. Even in the best case, over 3 years, we think there'll be a slight fall. The high case, the worst case, is off a third, and the base case is down 17%. This is because units are generally underperforming relative to houses, and there is a greater supply of units coming on stream. More approvals have been made, more construction is underway. So translating that into average prices, in 2020, 595,000 is where the number is. A fall of 13% next year to take it back to 516,000. And a small fall the following year, followed by a small fall in year three, to take prices back to $494,000, which would take them back to where they were back in 2014-15. Now going to Cheltenham East and looking at houses, in the low scenario, prices will be higher in 2023. By around 2.3%. In the high case, if the virus comes back and the economy gets locked down again, we could be down 15 or 16%. And the base case is down 7.5% over 3 years. And translating that to price moves, prices in 2020 in Cheltenham East for houses were around $1 million. There's likely fall of 8.5% to 933,000 next year. No change the following year, and then a slight rise to $943,000 in 2023, which would take prices back to where they were in 2019. Units, on the other hand, are likely to fall further. In our worst case scenario, down nearly a third. In our base case, down 14.9%. And in the low case, just a very slight rise. Translating that into the base case, $640,000 for the average unit in Cheltenham East now, a drop of 15.3% next year, taking it to $542,000. No change really in 2022, and a very small rise in 2023, basically taking prices to $544,000, which will put them back where they were in 2015. And then we go to Cheltenham North, and once again, the same sort of scenario plays out. If the economy opens quickly, we will expect to see a small rise in prices over the next 3 years for houses in Cheltenham North. On the other hand, if the economy gets closed down again because of the virus, we could see a more significant fall. And applying the mid-case scenario, in 2020, we think prices will move from $970,000 down about 6.7% to $905,000. There'll be another small fall in 2022 and a small rise in 2023 to take prices to around $893,000, which will put them back where they were in 2018-19. And finally, Cheltenham North units again shows a more significant fall, with a fall of 0.6% collectively over 3 years in the low scenario, in the high scenario, a fall of more than 30%, and in the baseline scenario, a fall of 14.1%. And translating that into real numbers, units on average in Cheltenham North are sitting at around 700,000 at the moment. They are likely to fall quite significantly, down 17.1% in 2021, a small rise in 2022, and an even smaller rise in 2023 to take prices to $597,000. And if that were to transpire, then prices will be back to where they were in 2016-17. And finally, I just wanted to show you some comparatives between Melbourne as a total entity, the postcode we've been looking at, 3192, and comparing it with Victoria 3000, the CBD in Melbourne. And it's worth noting that the financial stress is at 76% in the central business district. It's at 69% across the whole of Melbourne, and it's just 31% in Victoria 3192. Mortgage stress is relatively low in each of the scenarios. In fact, across the whole of Melbourne, it's sitting at 22%. In Cheltenham 3192, it's just 12.9%. The rental stress is a very significant variant. Looking at the overall central business district in Melbourne, it's 69.1%, which is huge. Across the whole of Melbourne, it's 58.9%, whereas in 3192, it's just 27%, so relatively benign. And looking at property investors, in the CBD, property investing is 78.2% stressed, more than 4,000 households. Across the whole of Melbourne, it's at 68.7%. And in 3192, it's just 41.6%. And I come to the conclusion, as I often do, that it is the property investment sector which is going to lead the market down first. And we are seeing more and more evidence of property investors thinking of bailing, one of the reasons why I think we're going to see more stock on market over the next few months. Then, of course, after March, we will find some mortgage holders also looking to sell because their principal and interest repayments will have ended. So in conclusion, you can see that this is quite an interesting postcode. It is just a little way out from the centre of Melbourne. It's on one of the main thoroughfares. It's got good infrastructure and good connections. It's undergoing massive structural change, with the number of houses diminishing and the number of rebuilds, and particularly units, rising. As a result of that, the character of the area is changing quite fast. And if you run it forward, my expectation is that you're going to see more and more houses being replaced by more and more units. This, unfortunately, is all the rage in that suburban ring around Melbourne. As a result of that, this desirable area is going to come under some pressure. And in fact, our modelling suggests that we're going to see more people looking to sell and move on than buy. And interestingly, the few larger properties, which are still there in some of the side streets, will be of some interest to some people But many properties will also be of interest to developers. And I got the story again from the agents that some of the best deals are being done by developers buying a house with land, knocking the house down, and putting a set of units on in its place. The planning regulations welcome it. And of course, that changes the character again and again. So I would say that if you're thinking of buying in this area, one, there is no urgency. There is going to be more supply coming on. Plus, prices are likely not to be rocketing ahead anytime soon. More likely, they'll go sideways or slightly down. But I also want to make the point that this is a more stable and mature area relative to other parts of Melbourne, and the overall levels of financial stress are low. But that said, there are still a number of very significant issues in play, and therefore it's very important you do your homework if you look at property in this area. And before I go, a quick reminder that next Tuesday at 8 p.m. Sydney time, there will be another DFA live stream event. And we're going to be talking about investing in the current uncertain climate. And I'll be joined by Damien Klassian from Nucleus Wealth. As you may know, Nucleus Wealth and I have tied up to offer Walk the World Fund and Walk the World Super as a way of investing, given the issues relating to deposits and the market risks that we face. So this will enable us to take that discussion further and answer specific questions. So mark your diaries. We look forward to seeing you there on Tuesday. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.